Honestly, it feels like I'm in between two worlds, the above world and the world that I encounter underwater.
This is Yaj Monen, and I'm Kyla Kathnedu. We're a podcast out of the Pokagon tribe in southwest Michigan and northern Indiana, and we're telling stories of our people reconnecting with culture, reviving traditions, and reclaiming their heritage. Yaj Monen means story in our language. So here's another. Skylar Daisy is a Pokagon citizen, and he's attending the Divers Institute of Technology in Seattle, Washington. When he leaves, he will be a certified commercial diver. Now, another citizen told me about Skylar, and when he did, I just thought, I don't think I've ever known a commercial diver. I want to talk to this guy. On this podcast, we've hit a lot of hard, deeply personal and cultural topics, and this is certainly the space to do so. But we're also here to share stories of citizens, whatever that may mean. Today, it means introducing you to a young man pursuing a dream he never thought possible in a world he imagined unreachable. Here's Skylar again, explaining his studies.
With this program, we are going to be certified commercial divers. We will be certified in rigging, underwater welding. With commercial diving, it's contract services. The contracting services are basically, they're the things that you go and make lots of money for.
Working in the Great Lakes, I would like to work around Lake Michigan or Lake Huron, somewhere in the Great Lakes, maybe even in a shipyard, or doing aquatic preservation if the need arises, which I have no problem doing. That would have been my preferred go-to thing. But it also takes a lot of training with aquatic species to be able to get into that kind of work.
Right. So it's a little more training than you're looking to get right now.
In the future. Definitely in the future. There is inland, which is more so focused on small areas on the mainland, like back home in Michigan. That would be considered inland diving, because I'd be focused in the inland areas of the United States, where I could be contracted to anywhere. I'd have a home base in Michigan, and where I could be contracted to work in the Great Lakes, which I'm kind of aiming for when I graduate.
Okay. So the inland diving that you would like to do, what are the types of projects you would be working on?
Some of it would be search and recovery, recovering bottom items. Some of it would be contract services, building like docks or piers, doing ship husbandry, which is boarding two vessels into one area so that we could offload and unload supplies, working crane operations, doing things with the Coast Guard even.
The possibilities for his skills are more than he could recount when we spoke, even though he's been pondering them for years. Skylar's love of water and curiosity for what dwelled beneath began at a young age, at nearby lakes and a pond on his grandpa's property. He fished, swam, snorkeled, and actually overcame a fear of water as he grew and explored the waters around him.
When I was about 12 years old, I was out on the Gage Lake property, and I had seen this really, really big turtle swim up underneath me, and I was scared. You know, I was only 12 years old, and I jumped out of the water as soon as I could, and I ran on shore, but then I looked back at it, and it was still there. It was just seeing that aquatic species, being able to enjoy the best of both worlds. The world that is filled with this air, and then the aquatic realm that most people never get to see.
I had always had a dream as a kid to be able to see the bottom of the lakes, and what it really was in store. Just seeing it from the surface in a canoe or a boat hadn't satisfied me.
I've always thought that being Turtle Clan had something to do with it.
Hmm.
My focus has always been around water. My grandfather, he was and always will be the greatest fisherman that I know.
Hmm.
And one day he told me he wished that he could have been on this journey with me to be able to come out here and experience all this stuff that I'm doing now as a young man. That really humbled me that I had been given this gift.
Skylar's Pokagon teachings and upbringing inform every aspect of his life, and his diving is no different. Water is a gift held dear by the Pokagon people, and Skylar especially plans to do his part to preserve this gift for future generations. This shapes how Skylar views his profession and how he approaches each dive.
Water is the essential for life. We as a Pokagon people are taught that we must take care of our water. We have to preserve it. We have to have ceremonies to honor that water, because we have to have it to sustain our own lives. Learning more about this diving and exploring these aquatic realms, it's opened my eyes to the importance of preserving this culture. It really has.
I always pray for the water. Always lay down my tobacco every time to ensure a safe descent. When I get to the dive site, I unload my car. Most of the time, it's packed full of scuba gear. I'm taking things apart, putting them together. I throw on my jacket, my scuba jacket, which is my BCD, and attach a tank, my air supply. We hook up the regulator, which is the hoses that connect from the tank to you, that you breathe off of. It has a little gauge on it that reads your air pressure, how much air you have. It has all kinds of goodies and things that you need to sustain yourself under the water. I attach weights so that we can control our descent rate, so that we can get down to the bottom. We put on our fins, walk to the dive site, put on our mask, and we jump in, ready to go. The deepest depth that I have ever been is about 100 feet. That was in our advanced open water training with my instructor last October. And we had went to this rock quarry. It was a flooded rock quarry that a lot of scuba divers go to for trainings and things like that. This is called Gilboa, and you could say it's a diver's paradise. There's so many planes and cars and shipwrecks and things that are sunken in the bottom of the lake for divers to explore and get that hands-on training that they need to feel comfortable in the diving realm. And with the added bonus, the owner of the quarry, every year he stocks thousands and thousands of lake trout and salmon and things like this, so that the divers can go down there and feel comfortable with those creatures.
Much of what Skylar is learning on the non-experiential side is the science of what is happening to his body while he's submerged underwater, which is dive theory. Swimming just a few feet below the surface in a pool is vastly different from swimming 100 feet below.
When you're in the water, your body absorbs nitrogen. With this nitrogen absorption, you have to stay at a certain pressure gradient in order to off-gas. Because if you don't, and you come up too fast from the ascent, those nitrogen bubbles will expand, and they won't be able to come out of your body right. It's a big science. It's a big science theory. They call it dive theory because it's an ever-changing subject. They're always discovering new things involving with diving, and it's not a constant thing unless it's been researched for a long time. Like, there's no doubt that you can at some point get some kind of human body damage from diving. Hmm. There's no exception.
Even with all that we know right now?
Yes. You're always taking that risk factor, and you're learning how to manage it better. That is the only absolute that they can teach you in your training.
Is that there are no absolutes.
Being that there are no absolutes.
Do you ever feel scared when you go down there?
At times, yes.
And what scares you?
I would have to say that not being able to make a direct ascent to the surface. If I'm working on something, or we're doing a rigging project underwater, we're working in a team, we need to be able to relay messages between the divers, and most of the times you cannot speak underwater. It's all hand signal based. You have to be able to communicate between one diver and another. At a certain depth, you become inherent to another risk factor that you normally don't get unless you get into more advanced diving methods.
Hmm.
It's called being narked. It's nitrogen narcosis. It's where the nitrogen in your body becomes under pressure, or at a certain depth, becomes overpressured, and your body reacts to it in a way of euphoria, you could say.
Hmm.
Not fully aware, you might feel really intoxicated at some times. I experienced this one time during our last training we did for deep diving, and it might change you. You can change your mentality when you're under the water. You might not think clearly, you might get blurry vision. The effects of nitrogen narcosis are different every time.
What happened to you when you...
Being a narked.
Yes, narked.
my symptom of being narked, I was down at about 90 to 100 feet. We were doing navigation dives at the bottom. We were navigating between boats and reference points at the bottom of the lake. One particular lake, Lake 16 in Michigan. I was diving with my dive partner, Jeremy, and our dive master. It was just the three of us. And it had been my first time ever getting narked. I had a little voice pop in my head. I just kind of was floating around in the back, and I just tilted my head up to look at the surface, and I had seen how deep I was. I had looked up all the way to the point where I couldn't even see the surface. I was that deep.
Hmm.
And I had a little voice pop in my head. And have you ever watched the Harry Potter movie, The Chamber of Secrets?
Yeah.
It's that little voice in my head was Moaning Myrtle. She said, if you die down there, Harry, you're welcome to share my toilet.
Did you seriously hear that? Like, it sounded like it was audible to you?
It was as loud as it's a movie theater in my head. It was clean and clear to hear. It was unlike anything I've ever felt.
Oh, so did you know at that point that you had been narked, or were you just totally talking to Moaning Myrtle?
I was totally narked, I could tell, because my partner said he got a little narked as well, but he started, I guess not convulsing, but he got wigged out. He got a little nervous and was kicking up a bunch of silt at the bottom because his air supply was really low, and he silted me out to where I was in a giant cloud of sediment at the bottom of the lake. I couldn't see anything, and my instructor was floating above us about 10 feet, and he had seen what happened, and he went to go make sure that my buddy was okay, which at the time he was making a direct descent to the extra supply line for this tank that was on the line for our descent.
Mm-hmm.
We hang an extra bottle for an emergency situation on our descent line. Well, he was over there breathing that, and my instructor went over there to make sure he was okay. And then about 5 minutes later, I see a flashlight just waving like crazy in the cloud of sediment. And I turn my flashlight on, and I give him a circle, which means okay, I'm okay. And he comes up to me, and I'm just like sitting there on the bottom, just calmly sitting there waiting for to clear up so I can figure out where we're at. And that's when he told me when we got on surface, he's like, no matter what situation you're in, I'm sure you will be just fine because you have the ability to stay calm when all lights are out and things go bad. Being able to stay calm is the biggest risk managing factor that you need to survive in this industry.
Before Skyler discovered his talent and love for diving, he did what he thought he should do after high school, which was attend college. He gave it a semester or two and realized his lack of passion for his studies. He felt out of place, like he had already missed out on something.
Exploring, it was a big thing for me, and I feel like I was born in the wrong time, but it took me until I got into this kind of diving lifestyle that I realized this was the perfect time for me. I had been placed in this time for the right reason. And that was so humbling to me. It's really life-changing.
What's life-changing about it?
Knowing that I have a purpose. When I was younger, I thought that I'd always been destined for the family trade, working for the family business. There's a couple tribal masons in the Pokagon band, and our family is one of those families. We do stone and brickwork and things like that. And my grandparents and my dad always wanted better for me. It is very important to have good mental health and self-being. That is the most important key. You cannot let life distract you from what you see is important.
Have you overcome some obstacles like that for yourself?
I did. There was a time in middle school, which is a big life-changing event for most people. In middle school, I was, I guess you could say at the lower end of the class. I always thought that I'd be one-town person, like, never really going anywhere, doing much with my life. I honestly didn't think I was going to graduate from high school.
Mm.
And I had an elder come up to me and get me involved with the youth council. He said, I know that this may be intimidating right now, but the teachings you'll receive and the things that you will experience here will mold you and shape you into the person you will want to be later on in life. And that was something else that really, really felt good. It empowered me to do better and show others that they can do anything.
Mm. Do you feel like you've overcome maybe that lack of belief in yourself or lack of confidence from your youth, or is that something you still deal with?
I still deal with it. I learn how to manage it better. It's important for people to know that the only faults that they have are the ones that they instill in themselves, the ones that they think about themselves. You have to believe in yourself.
If I had known when I was a young boy that I would be getting into this kind of lifestyle, I probably would have closed my eyes and turned around and just not even acknowledged it. I never could have fathomed in my entire life that I'd be doing things like this.
You You can see photos of Skylar and his diving gear on our website at www.pokhaganband-nsn.gov/Yaj Monen. I produced and edited this podcast, and Bobby Lynn created our music. Thank you for listening, and until next time, Mama P, be with you again.